Monty and the Pharaoh presents Da 30, the only online pro wrestling game show. And now, here's your host, Bruce ESO Butler.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of Da 30, where I challenge this group of elite wrestling experts with questions on the current events of the pro wrestling scene. Based on their answers, they are awarded points, and the one with the most points at the end of the night is crowned Da 30 World Champion. This is ESO, your referee, and now let's meet this panel. So first of all, to my right, he's the former and longest reigning Da 30 World Champion. He is the self-proclaimed smartest man in the room. He is Dan Sebastiano. Dan, welcome.
Welcome. Dan. You're looking forward to you working your wrist when you move that title back over to steal a line. If I can do the signal here, we got.
Oh, nice. Well, next we have the honor of having, not only is he the president of Thursday Nights, he is also the 30 World Champion. He is the president, Mr. Phil DeCesare. What's up, Phil?
Reigning and defending.
You mean?
We shall see. I said I'm not going to shave this thing until I win. And
oh,
I won.
Jesus. So, oh, God.
Expect next week to see something different. We'll
uh-oh.
See.
Uh-oh.
A lot of displaced birds will be. It's really sad. With a lot of things in
Santa
there.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hey, we could get the chops like Dan over there. Come on.
There you go. I might just do that. Yeah.
The gorilla monsoon chops.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you stop.
Well, next,
Dan Spasiak from Buzzard Creek, Oregon.
Yeah.
Next, we have somebody who's going to enlighten us with some pros. He is the player, Benny Scala. What's up, Benny?
Another episode of He's Pros the Player. Now, normally my pros are not hookers and things like that, but this is going to be a serious one in light of what's happened recently. So here we go. Uh-oh. The gates of heaven have opened to let in two legends of wrestling yore, born Al Rogowski and Michael Jones. As Ole and Virgil, they made their bones. So let's bow our heads in silent prayer and give thanks for the memories they left us to share.
Hoorah! Hoorah!
Nice.
Godspeed.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Thank you God. Know what, Benny? For that, I got to give you some points.
Oh, thank come you. On!
And I'm not going to insult you to lose my points.
Come on! Come on! Come on, where is he? Who is he?
So nice job, Benny. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, lost a couple legends this past week. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We may or may not have questions on that later. But last but not least, we have Centerville's own Joe Lowry. What a day, Joe. What's going on?
What a day. Happy Thursday out there. Thirsty Thursday, right? All that.
Yeah.
I got the Venmo all set up there, referee. We're going to get some good stuff going here. Maybe you can waive that 10% surcharge, huh? What do you think?
Well, we'll see. It depends on the donation amount. Oh, we lost somebody. Where did Dan go?
Oh, no.
Dan already threw the towel in? What's up
with
that?
Oh, my. Is there a sneak attack or something on Dan?
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm watching Dynamite.
Did Dan go to Parts Unknown?
Oh, I don't see Dan is not in the control room either.
This is why we start early, because the main show is coming up after this, and we got to get done on time.
His cats got him. They're
oh, he's coming. Off. Here he comes. He's coming back. Oh, there he is.
Okay, there he is.
There he is.
What was
back.
That? What happened, Dan? Where'd you go?
Man, your Venmo must have cleared. You tried to kick me off the show before it started.
Listen, Benny's the one who does those shenanigans. We know that.
Ooh. I'm a member of Venmo Elite now, so here we go.
Not the VD Club, but the VE Club. I get it. There we go.
Listen, guys, as you know, it's been another
crazy week. Nothing to clap about.
Hey, it's been another crazy week in pro wrestling, and so let's get this started. You guys know the rules. Lying, cheating, foreign objects, and all other distractions are allowed and encouraged. Points are given based on amusing comments, trash talking, and bribery via PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. Credit cards are accepted, but please be advised there is a 10% surcharge on that. So,
fucking surcharge. I'm
sorry. You guys ready for this first question?
We're ready.
All right, let's do it.
This past week, one of the founding members of the Four Horsemen passed away, Ole Anderson. There have been many versions of the Four Horsemen over the years with 15 different members. What version of the Four Horsemen was your favorite, and which one was your least favorite? And who had absolutely no business of ever being part of the Four Horsemen? So it looks like, Playa, looks like you're going to start us off tonight. Are you ready?
Ready.
You are on to 30.
So the question is, what is my favorite iteration and what is my least favorite? My favorite actually is the original with Oli. Oli, Arn, Tully, and Rick with JJ as the manager. And I, you know, we chatted a lot about Oli on Dan and Benny in the Ring with George Shire, our good friend. But Oli, the way he was taken out of the Horsemen really made it a fun angle. You know, the whole deal was, I guess, what they call him, a snot-nosed kid, that Oli had to watch. He had to take some time off to watch his son wrestle. And that, of course, you know, that irked the rest of the Horsemen because, you know, to them it was, you're a Horseman 24/7. But he did a promo, I think it was with Bob Caudle, talking about family. And Oli Anderson does not get his just due as a promo cutter. He was damn good on the mic, Oli Anderson. That was one of the most real promos that I've ever heard. Now, as far as my least favorite, that is so damn easy, because that is when Paul Roma was a Horseman. And in case you don't know who Paul Roma is, just look under in the picture dictionary under our drizzling shits, and you will see Paul Roma. So yeah, that was an easy one. Best Oli, least with Paul Roma. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice job, Benny. And he had a few seconds
left
on the clock. But, you know, he's a what a start.
Ooh, look at that.
What a start. Those
it helped with that 5-point bonus there.
Yeah, that kind of helped you out a little bit there, I think.
It's already over. Why play now? This is crazy. 17 points. How do you get that on the opening drive? My goodness.
He didn't. If you look, it's the average. You only got about 12.
Hey, the Lakers came back from a 21-point deficit last night in the fourth quarter.
28 to 3. That's all I got to say about this.
Of course, nobody here is LeBron James, though, right?
So, hey, Joe, while you're talking, you might as well keep on going because you're on the 30.
There you go.
Go.
Well, I only know the Four Horsemen, one unit, and that is Oli, Arn, Tully, and Flair. They are the original Four Horsemen. That is the way it's always been for me. I know they're often imitated, never duplicated. I mean, think about it. I've gone to conventions and stuff, and it's been like Wyndham and somebody else there. But to me, Tully Blanchard personified it. You had different variations throughout the years. But I got to tell you, I love the Flair, Oli, Arn, and Tully. They came along at a time when wrestling needed that faction. They made my Saturday nights worth watching. I mean, definitely with all the run-ins with Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA. I mean, the Four Horsemen, to me, they just bred excitement. Personified Ric Flair with the 10 pounds of gold, Oli and Arn had the tag titles at some point. Tully was your TV champion. They had all the belts in WCW or Georgia or whatever it was back then, NWA. To me, it's got to be the original Four Horsemen. It's a no-brainer. I know we're all generational on this and we all have our own genres and stuff, but Oli, Arn, Tully, Flair, the original Four Horsemen. You know, they're often imitated but never duplicated. I got to go with them. I'm going to leave 20 seconds on the clock just to tell everybody real quick how thank you all for being on the show tonight. I'm trying to kiss some ass here, and the production value is unbelievable. The referee is the most amazing man in the world, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks.
So, Joe, I'm only going to give you, I'm going to say average points on that.
You know, just ain't because, no one getting 17 on their first run.
The sucking up really paid off because you ignored the second half of the question totally. So,
what was the second half of the question?
What was your least favorite?
My least favorite? All of them, except for the first one. There you go.
I've got a good answer for that. I know Dan's going to, say it if I don't go. I know it.
Well, let's see.
There you go.
Who's next?
We'll
up
see
here.
Who goes first, because I think we're going to the same thing.
I think we are. Give it to me, Bruce.
No. Oh, no, it's Dan.
Oh, there's Dan. All right.
All right, I'll give you one hint, Dan, all right? If you say that, I'm going to be so upset.
Go, Dan.
Say it.
Look at those chops.
Well, see, seeing the laugh, I can't help it. No, I think it's going to be across the board universal, all four of us. Best iteration is the first one. You had four of the best technical workers in the business at the time. And unlike anything you'd seen before, it wasn't a gimmick. They did fly the jets. They did party hard. There's stories of the boozing and the women and all this. And the Four Horsemen, they were larger than life, both in and out of the ring. You're never going to top that. As for worst iteration, I might throw a little curveball here. I know the president and I are thinking the same thing. To me, the worst iteration was the very last one that WCW tacked on at the very end.
Absolutely.
Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, where Dean was out there begging Arn, please reform the Horsemen so we can do this. God. And, you know, they were feuding with NWO version 17.3 at that point. WCW was already in the toilet. It felt like a cheap cash grab. And as much good, bad, or indifferent of him as a murdering child killing psychopath, whether Chris, what you think about Chris Benoit in the ring, Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko never fit the high flying jumbo jet larger than life characters. They were good in ring talents, but they were both charisma vacuums. Arn and Ric Flair, I mean, no, and I mean that charisma vacuums. Not only did they cut shitty promos, but people in the ring with them were worse. Like Ric Flair was less interesting standing next to Chris Benoit. Then you tack on a few valets, you tack on David Flair, Charles Robinson as a referee because the Horsemen now have to cheat to win. It was a garbage cash grab, worst version in my opinion.
Wow, great job, Dan. Great job.
Wow, look at that. If only AEW was around back then, huh? They'd fit right in.
So, Mr. President, it's your turn on the 30. You ready?
I think so.
Let's go.
Hail to the chief.
We'll start with the worst. And, you know, and while Dan has a very good point, and it'd be hard to argue against Benoit Malenko being the worst incarnation. I have to say that Sting's cup of coffee with the Horsemen was likely the worst combo because obviously Sting is a face at heart. Okay. And secondly, he was just thrown in there because Tully was out of commission. I don't know whether it was a drug deal or what it was, but anyway, Sting came in, didn't last long. And Ole said it best, you know, you were never a Horseman to begin with. So, and the Horsemen actually had to run as faces, and the Horsemen are cool heels, okay? They're not faces. They're bad guys, all right? As far as the best version, it's hard to argue against Ole because of the Anderson lineage with Arn, I mean, with Lars and Gene. I mean, they were a threesome back before the Freebirds, and they really set the stage for just brutal sneak attacks and gang ups and that sort of thing. But second place, or a close tie to first, would be Barry Windham being a Horseman. One of the best performers of the time, arguably the best, a partier extraordinaire. Big Barry was quite, he's out all night and a little bit more himself. Plus the cowboy boots. His dad was a cowboy, Blackjack Mulligan. So, I mean, he's a Horseman, is he not? Big Bear, BW, definitely. So maybe a tie. I'll give the nod to the Ole incarnation originally because usually the first is the best. So
nice job, Phil. Nice job. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Thing one for free. I think I'm already repping it.
Rep.
No, I have to agree with you guys. I mean, Phil, I really enjoyed the Barry Windham version too. That really was a good version. The Lex Luger version was okay at that point. But I have to agree.
Luger had the look for sure.
Honestly, the peak, I hate to admit it, the peak Monday Night War with Flair, Arn, Mongo, and Benoit wasn't a terrible iteration either for what they were trying to do.
So
yeah.
But I mean, you talk about charisma vacuums. There's another one, Mongo.
Yeah, he was quite the part. He was a partier, though. I mean, he really lived that. He was up for days at a time. Not that I condone that sort of behavior, but
his staying up days at a time was chemically induced, though.
So that precisely. Yeah. Oh yeah. What?
No way. Come on.
So hey, Joe, do me a favor. While we're getting ready for this next question, why don't you give a shout out to some of the guys out in the chat room?
Yeah, real quickly, what do you got? Loose Cannon just showed up. Loose, welcome. Jamie's in the house. Beth's in the house. Hello, hello, hello. Looks like Mike checked in a little while ago. Yo, his typical yo, what's happening? So more people joining. Hey, join in on the fun. You know, let us know how we're doing out there. Don't be scared, folks. Chime in with your own answers because, you know, sometimes we rely on that chat.
Write your friends.
Absolutely.
Have a cake party.
You know what I mean? And I don't know, Bruce, I don't know if you can give out points to the chat, but Luce gave me a shout out, said I had a great opening. So that's got to be worth at least two right there.
He also mentioned Brian Pillman was a horseman. At least
Pillman was definitely horseman material for sure.
Luce Cannon, yeah. I'm telling you right now, his friggin' son better go that route soon, too, because this Lexus King thing is not working out.
You know, well,
I love that kid. No. That kid's great.
Great, Brian's though. A good guy.
A great talent, but
he's been on What a Day as well. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, I've met him. Yeah.
I've had the chance to interview him. You know, it's funny. He was probably one of the weirdest interviews I've ever done because he kept flipping back and forth between reality and kayfabe. Like, he's telling me the story. You know, we're in the back. We're playing in these spots. And then we go out there. And I had to try so hard. And the bastard stabbed me in the back. And it's like in the locker room, it's, you know, we're it's a work. As soon as I'm in the ring, he's talking like it's a real fight. And it was just, like a light switch. It was great.
That's his genetics, man, yeah. I think.
There you go. Dan, you're up two. Plus two, Dan. That's what Lou says.
There you go.
All right, I'll take care of that in between rounds here. I'll take care of that, Lou. No problem. Lou is my man out there. So.
Come on.
All right, listen, let's get on to the next question here. So this weekend at AEW, Sting is set to team up with Darby Allin against the Young Bucks in what is set to be his retirement match. It is kind of unprecedented that a wrestler gets a final tour before his retirement. How do you think this was handled by AEW? Are you going to miss Sting? Should he have retired a long time ago? And should Ric Flair be involved in this match physically in any way? So, Joe.
Yeah.
Looks like you are on the 30.
Gee, I hope I can retain that question. You know what I mean? Oh, there's my water. Thank you. All right. My producer's giving me my water. Thank you so much.
Wait, I'll let you take a sip of water before I hit that.
Ain't got a Marco Rubio moment right here.
The Marco Rubio.
I should penalize him points just for making us wait, guys.
No. Go ahead. I'm ready. I'm ready for a reference. I'm ready.
All right. Let's go.
All right, Sting, we should all know by now that Sting's last match should not and probably most likely will not be in an AEW ring. This is where Tony Khan is no longer a wrestling promoter, but more of a mark, like we've said before. Any person who does booking in the world of pro wrestling knows that retirement angles are milked and milked and milked for all it's worth. And this includes this disastrous final appearance on the flagship show AEW Dynamite last night was absolutely horrible. We saw more of the executive vice presidents out there than Sting. And to have Sting let Darby Allin get beat up and then that crazy cryptic moment when Ric Flair came out and did some bodily movements and had a drop to the ground. Then and only then does Sting descend from ascend or whatever that word is I'm looking for. Come down from the rafters like the old days. A little bit too late, I think. I think we all know right now we saw more of Rene Paquette than we did of Sting last night on Dynamite. I hate to say it. They're dropping the ball with this. No, he does not belong in a tag team title match to be his last match ever. I don't think that's going to be ever. I think he's going to go back to WWE. He's going to have one more final match. Where else but WrestleMania? God, I hope his contract does end after this weekend because they can probably pencil him in for WrestleMania coming up this month, later on in the month with April. So, yeah, his last match should not be and will not be with AEW. It'll definitely be with some other organization, most likely WWE. But, yeah, definitely WrestleMania will be his last match. Sorry, I went over.
No worries. Hey, I got a text while you were going, and it was a nice little Venmo. Yeah. You got a couple extra points with that, too. Nice job.
Nice.
Good job.
That 10% is killing me every friggin' time. Don't pay the mortgage this week, honey. All right.
Pay the gas bill next week. Wait till the paycheck drops.
All right. Dan, looks like you're on the 30 next. Yes, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you guys couldn't see it. While Joe was talking, my cat jumped on the back of the chair, and I asked her what she thought about the Young Bucks, and she shit herself. It's because that's exactly what it is. You have the worst possible angle you're doing right now. Because you think about this. You've got two options for this match. Either the Young Bucks win the tag titles from Sting and Darby in his last match, or this new super heel tag team that you've built up is going to lose their first major pay-per-view match and Sting's going to retire as a champion. And then what? A Tony Khan tournament, because you're going to need new tag champions. And Joe's absolutely right. They completely botched Sting's finale, because if you were recording the show, you missed it, because 90% of his time was after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it was good of him to sit in the rafters and wait for Darby's head to get caved in and Ric Flair to get beat up before he dropped down to save everyone, which was absolute crap too. But no, as for the booking, this has been horrible. You have the biggest star in your company right now, one of the biggest stars the last 30 years. Every show you've done since he announced his retirement should be, this is Sting's final appearance in whatever city we're in. Build around that. Instead, he gets a few minutes of TV time a week. You push the Bucks, which is absolute crap. And this is where Tony Khan needs to be a boss. If Sting won his last match against the Young Bucks, Tony Khan should have said, no, we've got, you're in North Carolina. How is your last match not Sting and Darby against FTR? They handled this poorly. I agree with Joe. I think Sting's going to end up somewhere, even if it's TNA, he's going to end up somewhere else for a better finale.
Nice job. So Dan took over the lead there by two, but it's definitely going to be a close one tonight.
No ratings movement either on that last night.
No, probably a ratings. The Bucks are ratings poison.
I got to give a special shout out to Chris Lee, a returning long time. I haven't seen Chris Lee in a while.
Down under Chris Lee. Yeah. I love Chris Lee. Down under, baby.
Who's Chris Lee? Fill me in. Who's Chris Lee?
Chris Lee's
bearded Aussie.
Yeah, he's a long time friend of the show. So, it's good to see him back.
Nice. All right.
Let's see.
Yeah, he's a good friend of Boston, too. He's a good dude.
So, Mr. President, looks like you're next on the 30.
Wow. All righty. You know, I've loved seeing Sting, and I'm going to miss him, I think. And, you know, I do like the nostalgia that Tony Khan brings to things, with Jericho coming back as Corazon de Leon, with the White Zombie music entrance. Good stuff. You know, I love some of that stuff. But I think Flair getting involved at this point, you know, when Flair has those aviators on, he looks like some other guy we see in the news all the time. The guy who can't walk upstairs. You know what I mean? I don't know who I'm talking about here, but, you know, and I worried about Sting coming down from the ceiling too. You know, I mean, since that happened with Owen, I just don't know. It was impressive. Yet I have to admit, I was a little scared with that. You know, I saw a Sting come down in the Boston Garden to save DDP from the NWO. He hooked up DDP in the harness and they both went back up to the ceiling. And it was the craziest, one of the craziest stunts I ever saw.
The Garden.
So it was a great show in the Garden. But beyond that, I see this match with all its flaws and its buildup and its senseless sort of, you think it's a senseless kind of story being trying to be told here. I can't help but think that Sting's sons are going to somehow get involved. I don't know what their background is. I'm purely thinking outside the box. Maybe they're going to become involved in a feud with the Young Bucks. Maybe this is a transitional period. And something happens there. I'm not sure what kind of injustice might be done to Sting, whether they intend for Sting to retire as champion, cede the belts to his sons. I mean, it's pro wrestling. Anything can happen. So I'm going to be very curious to see what happens. And that's that.
I don't think no one's taking the – I don't know. This tag team title thing just makes no sense. Oh,
yeah. It's crazy. Bad book.
It's going to be a surprise then. I don't know. We don't see any logical where this is going to go right now, but almost we could be surprised.
Almost as bad as Jericho's match last night. Jeez.
Oh, my God. Hopefully that's not a question.
Oh, no Jericho questions. No Jericho questions. So
CMLL.
Playa, it's your turn. You ready on this?
Not really, but I got to get it over with.
All right.
No. Yeah, so great attitude. Answering any question about AEW, to me, is like the equivalent of a high colonic. That's just one of those things, you know, you just got to get it over with. But, you know, to me, like, it's almost like I don't even want to answer this question. It doesn't even, like, it's not even worthy of an answer because, you know, Sting should not be ending his career in an AEW ring. It's like Don Mattingly, who's my favorite ball player for the last 35 years, Donnie Baseball. It'd be like, you know, spending all those years as the, you know, as the first baseman of the Yankees, and then having like his last baseball game playing for the Sheboygan Sack Whackers. You know, it just doesn't work. I mean, he belongs in the major leagues. And I mean, I have this thing with age too. I don't think he should be wrestling. Period. I think he should have retired a long time ago. He should have retired after a stint in WWE. And that's my opinion. But you know, it seems like he's still enjoying himself. He could still go. But I just don't want to see his career end here. I am hoping to God, like my associate said, that somehow his contract is over. And you know, the old Christian thing, one more match. He's got to have a match in WWE. And like, don't fuck it up like you did with Triple H. Let the guy go out on top. And, you know, I mean, the guy's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but I just don't want to see it end in AEW.
Great round, Benny. Great round. For having nothing to talk about, you got a minute 30 of a lot of crap out.
Knowing all the crap Tony Khan books, they'll win, and then Darby will be champion by himself. And then, you know, he'll have to, like, have a new partner every week or some stupid shit like that.
That could be.
I'm really hoping that they do defend the tag titles clean and all that stuff. And that, oh, no, I'm not going to retire. Let's keep this going for a while.
You know exactly what's going to happen. The Bucks are going to win the tag titles, and Adam Page is going to win the triple threat, and the Elite are going to have all the belts and be featured every week in front of 15 people.
And they'll continue to mention Cody Rhodes at every chance they get.
So. And Samoa Joe wearing a poncho.
Samoa Joe, I saw that today.
All right, guys. This past week, we had the WWE PLE Elimination Chamber, which has had mixed reviews on its presentation. Some people are praising the in-ring performances, while others criticized its predictability and lack of real surprises. What is your opinion on this PLE, and did it make you excited for the WrestleMania season? Let's see. Oh, Dan, looks like you're on the 30. You excited for this one? Go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like Joe and I talked about this once already.
Yeah, this sounds vaguely familiar, Dan.
To answer your question, exactly what I said was going to happen when we talked about it a few weeks ago is what happened. McIntyre, Becky Lynch, tagged, no other title changes. You knew going in there was going to be no big surprises. My only gripe, I'll give credit where credit's due to the in-ring action, it was good. My only gripe is you neutered the Elimination Chamber. One, you had a women's match, which was honestly move for move better than the men's match, which, no offense to women's wrestling, should never happen. Women should never take more of a beating than men, because if I can watch Becky Lynch get superplexed off the top of a pod onto steel and that doesn't do it, that doesn't knock her out, how is that going to finish off Drew McIntyre? The other thing is, in the men's match, you had two different interference spots, just like you had an interference spot last year, AJ Styles and, you know, then the brass knuckles later. I mean, talk about neutering the referee. Like, I get it's no DQ, but at the same time, the fans are now, yeah, Drew McIntyre won, but two of his wins were rolling over someone who got beat up by someone else. Wow, what a huge threat he is now. I thought the men's match was booked poorly. The other, of course, my big drawback, we talked about it before we got to recording, was a three-hour show had less than an hour and a half of in-ring action between the end of the tag match and the start of the men's elimination chamber, 54 minutes. And that Cody segment did nothing for anybody. I thought the pay-per-view was B- at best. But it's just, not excited for WrestleMania more than I was before the show.
No.
Yeah, good job, Dan. Good job. Who do we have up next? It looks like Mr. President. Looks like you're next on the 30.
El Presidente.
Well, I'm going to see how much I can hem and haw and do a lot of pregnant pauses to really get through this. I'm going to say as few words during my performance here as there were actual moments of action. From what I saw, let me clarify too, and I saw very little, and I was compelled to watch even less, you know. I did get to see Nia Jax and be taken out, and very impressed with Rhea. So, and like Dan said, I did get to see the women's match, and I was, again, thoroughly impressed. And they usually do steal the show from my perspective. So that's generally something I like to really watch. You know, as far as Becky Lynch goes, you know, she is a great performer. I'll give her that. She really is. Her promos, she puts herself over like crazy. I mean, you know, I mean, kind of a departure from what you would consider a classic face. And, you know, I almost want to chime in. Did you guys see her on Celebrity Jeopardy? Did you happen to see the man on Celebrity Jeopardy?
I did.
Yes, he was not the man. For all her braggadocio and her in-ring talent, you know, she broke not one question answered correctly, not one clue answered. A new Jeopardy record.
Go ahead.
No, she didn't. Drew, of course, being Drew, love Drew. But all in all, you know what? It was pretty flat, like Australian beer that's been up for 3 days. You know, like a Foster's that's been open for 3 days, totally flat.
Real quickly, though, I watched that the other day, of all things. I wanted to check it out. She did manage to get some right at the end, and that was just to climb out of to be negative.
Yeah,
she was negative going into Final Jeopardy.
They had to give her money so that she could keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, I mean, it. I was waiting for her to go 0 for whatever, but she did manage to get, I want to say like 3 or 4 were right. That was it. But you could just tell she was off. She could tell she was off. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I know.
So, player, it's your turn.
The player.
Let's go.
The player's in the bunker. The bunker.
How do I say this? So, if the PLE was like a hooker, and I gave a hooker $100, and I said, well, contingent upon how you do, I may have to renegotiate. I would have asked for about $35 back at the end of it, because it just really didn't do anything for me. You know, it did what it was supposed to do, but now the matches themselves I enjoyed. I thought the tag team championship match was great. I thought that Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne did a phenomenal job. It, you know, kind of, you know, wrestling, it's like kind of like sex, size matters. The two small guys, I mean, put up a hell of a fight. I thought the women's match was phenomenal. Really, really good. I was very, very impressed with Tiffany Stratton. I could not say enough good things. I was very impressed with Rhea Ripley. I'm so glad she went over, in her home country. The men's match, I liked it, but I didn't like the AJ Styles interference. They're really burying LA Knight. So he went from possibly facing Roman Reigns to possibly having a WrestleMania US title match with Logan Paul. And now he's going to wrestle at AJ Styles. What happened? That was very, very, very disappointing. They, you know, they should have paired those two up. They should have paired up at LA Knight and Logan Paul. And they really dropped the ball on that, I think. Lazy booking.
Nice job, Benny. Nice job. I'm glad you got that 5-point lead on because Dan's kind of caught up with you. So
Dan caught up.
Yeah, we got to. I would give anything for
5 points. There, jeez.
Joe, let's see what we can do. It looks like, let me just get you a timer up because you're next.
And I feel like I'm doing the recap show again.
Let's see. We got a minute 30 up. We're going to transition Joe in. And Joe, go.
All right. Well, let's just call it what it is. This premium live event, this go-home pay-per-view, whatever it is, to WrestleMania was nothing more than a glorified Raw or SmackDown, if that. I mean, for God's sakes, that Grayson Waller effect was a complete, utter disappointment. No Rock, no Reigns. I feel bad for the fans of Australia. They got jolted around, man, because they were dead at times. I know me and Dan talked about this, but I think they felt the time zone difference for everybody on the East Coast as well, because they were half asleep during all this. I think the biggest shock to me was Liv Morgan. No one's talking about Liv Morgan. She almost won the damn Rumble. She pinned Bianca Belair. This was amazing. That was off the wall stuff there. I was psyched. I was thinking maybe, just maybe, the WWE will get it right. But lo and behold, it was the Rhea Ripley show from beginning to end. If I saw one more damn promo with Rhea Ripley in Australia and all this stuff, you know, but the best part of the show, me and Dan talked about, Rhea Ripley's outfit. I mean, come on, folks. The photos were just unreal. You couldn't clean up those photos if you tried. I'm shocked that Benny didn't even mention this. But nonetheless, it was all about Rhea Ripley. I'm great to see her get her due in her home country and all that stuff. But like I said, this premium live event, nothing made me or Dan, I'm going to say this because I'm going to steal part of his thunder, was the fact that nothing made us excited for WrestleMania, which is now 37 days away. Nothing at all. This premium live event was nothing more than a glorified Raw.
Nice, nice job.
Wow, the cat.
I heard the cat. The cat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at that.
And thank you for that Venmo. I appreciate
it. Okay, yeah, no mortgage payment this week. Definitely.
So I get some extra points because some of Joe's points were literally just quoting me, right?
Oh, so awesome job. Well, listen,
my scripts from old shows.
You know, it's funny that Joe, you mentioned that because Liv Morgan was the runner up in the Rumble and the Chamber, and she was the runner up in the Chamber last year.
And she got screwed on Raw Monday night. I mean,
geez.
You know, for someone who's
the only thing Liv Morgan's beaten recently were DUI charges.
Yeah, there you go.
She got pinched holding someone's weed or something. Yeah.
Hey, now they're all misdemeanors, folks, and that's been quite clean. That's been wiped clean now.
She paid her debt to society like Ken Patera.
I mean, see, that's her problem. See, she got away with it. It's only after you get convicted of a DUI, like the Usos, you get long tag title reigns. Yep,
exactly.
So, all right, guys. Well, after this round, one person will be eliminated. And then looks like we have enough time to get all the questions in. So, let's see. Coming out of the Elimination Chamber, we are on the final stretch to WrestleMania. So far, we have Bayley versus Io, Rhea and Becky, Drew and Seth, Roman, Cody. Looks like Logan Paul against Orton and AJ Styles, LA Knight. How do you think this card is shaping up? Anything that you are hoping gets added? And anything you think the WWE is overlooking? Let's see. So, it looks like Champ. Looks like
that's me.
That's you.
Oh, yeah. You get the belt on you. Come on now.
So, sorry, Dan. I know you looked up for that, but no, I'm not talking to you. So.
Oh, my. Hey. It's a Pavlovian response here.
You said champ, force of habit. I'm sorry.
Phil, you are on to 30.
Well, those are all, somewhat compelling matchups. But, again, as we all know, fate has interceded in what was planned to be quite a stellar WrestleMania show, and basically they're just patching together what they can right now. I mean, yeah, Cody going back against Roman. I'm just not into that, man. I'm intrigued by The Rock maybe or something different, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's not you. It's me. Maybe with Cody right now, him living and finishing his story. I don't know. I'd much prefer. Somebody else, I much prefer Drew. Maybe I think he would mount a more serious and compelling challenge. And who else is fighting AJ and LA Knight? Is that the other one?
That's what it's looking like.
It's the battle of initials. I mean, really, that was just kind of hodgepodge put together, really, and they're both great competitors. Don't get me wrong. AJ, another guy defying what we perceive as age, and just, again, one of the smoothest wrestlers in the business. So anytime to see him is great, again, the women, I think, are really stacking up nicely against the men. Who else do we have now? We have Seth, of course, and Seth and Drew. I don't think that really should be the match. In fact, if it is, I think Drew should go over like a steamroller anyway. And quite frankly, I'm a little sick of Seth, too. I really am. And,
sick
I love him in the Shield. I loved him as the architect in the Shield. I loved him back in the day. Ring
keep
of Honor.
Keep going, Phil. Make everybody's time. Just keep going.
The voice, the clothes. Anyway.
Overtime.
All right. So much to say, so little time.
Bruce was just saying we had time to get in all the questions, and now
time. Yeah, there we go. So now we're gonna have to rush into the next person. So Playa, being that he took all that time up. We got to quickly get into you. Go.
So things have been entirely too dull and too predictable. It to the point where I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? I have to believe that the WWE is lulling us into a false sense of security because it can't go on like this. I mean, it's just too damn predictable. I do not agree with the battle of the initials, AJ and LA. LA, it looks like that. I mean, I don't know if he's burnt out. He still seems very over with the fans, but it just seems like they're burying him. He should have had that title match with Logan Paul, because what is that going to do for Randy Orton if he wins the U.S. title? Does he really need that? I have to believe that, and I do agree with Phil. I think that I think Drew's going over Seth. I don't care if Cody finishes his story or not. I think what's going to happen. There is going to be a huge story that's going to involve Seth. I think Seth's going to turn heel because he keeps bringing up the word Shield. And I think Rock somehow is going to turn babyface. I don't even know that that Cody is going to win the title. I don't care if he wins it or not. I'm just as good with Roman coming out of WrestleMania with the title. I don't see Cody as the guy, the torchbearer, the flag carrier. To me, he's Stardust, who got a little bit better. So yeah, I just, there is much, much more that's going to happen that we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Nice job, Benny. Nice job. Took a little lead there.
Man, these scores are getting higher every week. Oh, my God.
And my pocket is getting lined better every week. You don't see a correlation?
You got to pay for those new shirts, man. You got to pay for those new shirts.
Exactly.
Oh, the clock's striking 12 for somebody.
Oh, it's my death knell.
Bruce has his own table at Bruce Chris Steakhouse.
Undertaker in the house. What the hell's going on here?
That's the chime. All of Bruce's deposits are clearing.
Still be going off at this point. Uh-oh, I'm up already?
You're up. Okay. All right, Joe, you ready? Let's go.
I'm ready. All right, so what do we got? 37 days away from the showcase of the Immortals. Can you believe it? That means there is 27 hours of WWE programming between Raw and SmackDown left on television. That's 5 episodes of Raw and 6 episodes of SmackDown. And thus far, we only have 4. Yes, 4. Count them on one hand. 4 confirmed matches for Mania. So far, we got Roman and Cody, Rollins and McIntyre, Rhea versus Becky, and Bayley taking on Io Sky. That is it as of today. Nothing else. Now, a couple of other matches seem to be teasing that are on the horizon, most notably this past Monday on Raw. Gunther will obviously defend his Intercontinental title against somebody from the Judgment Day. And now you're going to have to throw Sami Zayn in there, which I think it'll be a triple threat with Zayn actually beating the longest reigning champ, IC champ in WWE history. Of course, battle of the two first names, whatever the hell they are, AJ Styles taking on LA Knight. Don't forget, we have Jimmy versus Jay. That's being thrown around. Brother versus brother match. Logan Paul, Randy Orton, no-brainer from Chamber. Jade Cargill supposedly going to be on the card against Bianca Belair. Judgment Day, they're going to have to defend their tag titles against Awesome Truth. John Cena is rumored to be fighting Braun Breaker. I also predict now a Liv Morgan, maybe Nia Jax matches on tap. Alexa Bliss will make an appearance, I'm sure. And, of course, one night we'll have to have Cody and Seth taken on the Rock and Roman and tag team action. I'm assuming that'll be on night one. But with 16 matches usually is the norm for a WrestleMania weekend, 8 one night, 8 the other. We only got 4 matches so far. And, folks, WrestleMania still has not sold out. 37 days left.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So nice job, yep. Joe. Nice Uh-oh. Job.
Well done, Joe.
Well, we tried.
Maybe they need to point to the sign a little more to get some more ticket sales.
Yeah, Phil, I'm a little nervous for you.
I don't have a sign, but I can point to the title I'm going to win tonight. So.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You mean that title right there?
All right. Dad, you're on the 30.
Absolutely. Joe hit it on the head. There are 11 Raw and SmackDowns combined between now and Mania. You have 4 confirmed matches, your 2 women's titles, Bayley and Io, Becky and Rhea, your 2 men's matches, Seth and Drew, Cody and Roman. It seems pretty obvious it's going to be Jimmy versus Jay. It seems pretty obvious you're going to have LA Knight versus AJ Styles. They're building up Orton and Logan Paul, but you still got Kevin Owens in the mix somewhere. He hates Logan Paul more than anybody. Maybe a triple threat match there. You guys mentioned the IC title match where it looked like Gunther was building up against somebody from the Judgment Day. It seemed like they were hinting at Dominic, but he also bumped into Sami Zayn backstage, had some heat there. You still have the unfinished story with Chad Gable. That might be a multi-man ladder match, something you can drag out because you're not going to have very many matches. The Judgment Day is going to defend the tag titles, most likely against Awesome Truth. I think the only way you end that story is by having R-Truth finally beat the Judgment Day. You got Shinsuke, Solo, The New Day, Imperium, DIY, Braun Breaker, Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, and The Rock, all without stuff to do, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You're looking at right now, you've got, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches across 2 days and 11 shows to build up the rest of it. Maybe they do the Battle Royals. Maybe they throw in another multi-man or a grudge match that they have to build up over the next few weeks. I don't know. It looks like they've got a lot going that could be really good, but at the same time, they've got a lot going that who the hell knows what they're doing. We're, like I said, 11 shows from Mania, and we don't even have a third of the card built. That's sad.
Yeah. I think that black cloud of Vince McMahon is still looming over WWE right now. It's going to go right all through WrestleMania.
They're trying to dig themselves out of the hole. But what they seem to be doing is give you a, you know, carrot on the end of the stick. We're going to give you a little bit, come back next week, and we'll give you extra. And so far, the extra hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first thing I got to do, unfortunately, Phil, I got to take this title away from you.
Phil's gone.
It is up for grabs tonight. We are going to have a new champion.
Uh-oh. Ruh-roh.
I should have shaved.
Good. Phil will still be able to hear you, but we're not going to be able to see you. Later.
Wow, just like that. Unceremoniously.
I have a face for radio anyway.
Yeah, really.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, we had another death this week in pro wrestling as Michael Jones, better known to the wrestling fans as Virgil, passed away at the age of 61. He started his career in the CWA as Soul Train Jones and seemed to be well on his way to wrestling stardom. In 1987, he became the bodyguard of Ted DiBiase and from there never really seemed to get the chance to break out again. How do you look at the career of Virgil? Do you think the WWF dropped the ball with him? And what do you think of the Lonely Virgil memes that have circulated the internet for the past few years? Let's see. Who do we have? It looks like Dan. Looks like you're going
right
to be
back to it.
Yeah, it looks like you're up on the 30 there.
All right,
so
let's do it.
Let me just get you a timer.
You're good. Oh, I only get a minute?
There you go. I'll give you the
Okay, that's better.
All right, go.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to talk about Virgil and some of the jokes that have come out since. I personally am going to go to Olive Garden this weekend in honor of the Meat Master himself. But you have to look at his whole career. Ted DiBiase was one of the most successful and best heels of one of the most successful and best eras in wrestling history. That gimmick does not work without Virgil. And people forget, anybody that watched wrestling in the 80s, when Virgil turned on him and hit him with the $1 million belt, is one of the loudest pops the WWF has ever seen. And let's be honest, the NWO, having the henchman, he was the head of security as Vincent, another little nod, Virgil being a and Vincent both being knocks on people's real names, you know, those didn't work without him. Did they drop the ball on him? No, I don't think so. I think he had a great career for what it was. I mean, everybody knows the story. They were going to bring in the Godfather or, you know, as the NWO member, but Virgil agreed to take the job for significantly less. And he stayed around. Who remembers Curly Bill in the West Texas Rednecks? And he was with WCW until the end. And then he wrestled on the Indies and he adopted the Canadian Destroyer and the Virgil memes. I remember seeing him at the mall where I worked years and years ago. And again, a lonely Virgil table. That's unfortunate. But the man, you know, he was a self-promoter. He was still making money until the end on a career that most people want to laugh at, but they were still paying him for. The man deserves the accolades, deserves his flowers. Hours, and I hope history remembers him for as good as he really was.
There you go.
Nice job. Nice job, Dan. Definitely within reach, though. Let's see who's next up. Benny, it looks like you're going to be next up on the 30. Let's get your timer up there. Benny, you are on the 30. Go.
And go. All right. Well, I mean, of course, I was very sad. And I wasn't surprised to hear about the passing of Michael Jones, a.k.a. Virgil. You know, he's been battling numerous health issues over the past several years. But I feel like I owe it to everybody to be editorially responsible. He did get a small push while in the WWF, but it really didn't amount to much of anything. I mean, can you remember a great Virgil match or an impactful Virgil promo? Yeah, I can't either. I mean, I hate to speak badly of the dead. I mean, and I'm sure he's a very nice man, but, you know, even more so is Vince when he joins WCW. I kind of felt bad for him at that point. I mean, what do you do as the 97th or the 87th member of the NWO, 87, 97 at that point? What difference does it make? But, you know, I guess I shouldn't feel too bad. Like Dan said, I mean, he was getting a very nice paycheck for doing next to nothing. I mean, and the sad part is, though, is that what we're going to remember are the social media pictures of Virgil at a wrestling convention, a random hotel lobby, a subway station, bowling alley, or the grand opening of Kroger's. Wherever he was, there was one thing for sure. Nobody else was there. unless it was John Cena and we just couldn't see him. But by all accounts, though, I'm sure Mike Jones was a good guy. And, you know, he will be missed. I mean, and I mean, for his had a nice look, limited in-ring skills, had a little bit of success, I believe, in Memphis as Soul Train Jones before Virgil. But I think he reached his watermark, and I think he did very well.
Nice job, Benny. Nice job, Benny. You definitely you know, punched your ticket into the next round.
My goodness.
So now it is up to What a Day Joe down there. Let's see what he can
What a day. What a day.
Joe, it's definitely right within reach. So
all right.
Let's get you up on the board.
Bum, bum, bum.
And go.
All right, Virgil, I guess timing is everything with this one because Ted DiBiase recently said before Virgil's passing that, you know, would Virgil be considered for the WWE Hall of Fame? And he outright said no. And then, of course, go ahead, fast forward this past Monday in the passing of Virgil and so forth. I think Virgil did what he was supposed to do on screen, and that was Vince McMahon hired him to be the bodyguard of the Million Dollar Man, and he played it to the best of his ability. The man had virtually no wrestling background. He didn't have wrestling schools or academies or power plants and all that stuff back in the day. As noted on Monty the Pharaoh show, they recently replayed his interview from a few years back right after COVID. And, you know, he got thrown to the wolves. He had to learn on the fly. He learned with Jerry the King Lawler on how to wrestle. And Ted DiBiase recently praised Virgil's work ethic, saying that he had to work really, really, really hard to put on a good match. And that's exactly what Virgil did. He was put in the ring. He made his money being a bodyguard. Because let's put it, folks, by the time he got to WCW, the gimmick was over. He was just trying to scrap change at that point. And of course, everything else after that is neither here nor there. But to me, Virgil was the role of a bodyguard. He played that role. He wasn't like Kevin Nash, where he just transcended from a bodyguard to a full-time wrestler. He couldn't do it. That's fine. But he got paid to be a bodyguard, and that is exactly what Virgil will be remembered for. And, of course, his upsetting of Ted DiBiase to win the Million Dollar Championship at SummerSlam. So,
oh, nice job. And the smartest man in the room is going to be knocked out.
See what happens, guys? We throw in a few baseball references, and Bruce ends up being Angel Hernandez with these awful balls.
Hey, if it weren't for those bonus points that both these guys got,
you had that round where you gave Joe like 35 points because you felt bad for him. I'm sure that helped.
Listen, you heard my bank account going off.
I know. You can hear the chimes in the background. No, hell of a show, guys. Good luck to both of you.
You got
to
put more cats on the video next time, Dan.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, where are my cat bonus points, Dan?
I was hypnotized by those guys.
Those will be there next week, Dan. Those will be there next week, Dan. Don't worry. We'll still be able to hear you, but we can't see you. Later.
Good luck,
Real quick, to shout out to Maria Davis. She's quite insightful on
the First Lady.
On Virgil. Good stuff there. Thank you.
Let's go ahead,
Maria.
Let's go ahead and reset these numbers. Get Joe back down to zero.
Story of my life.
And let's get Benny back down to zero. All right. Let's set up a new timers.
Bum, bum, bum.
And you guys ready for this new question? This last question. Are you sure you're ready for it?
This is Rudy Diamond taking on SD Jones all over again.
All right.
Rudy Diamond.
Well, so guys, this is actually our first viewer submitted question.
Oh, what? I didn't even know we were doing that. Oh.
So this one comes from Long Island, New York. Long time to 30 show fan, Michael Monty.
Charlie from Starkville,
Michael Monty wants to know.
Need a body shop?
With the overwhelming success of with the overwhelming success of What a Day Joe Lowry and Dan Sebastiano's impromptu Elimination Chamber review, what does everyone think of the new Dan and Joe show? And which combination with Dan do you like better and why?
Is this a question?
This is the question submitted by Michael Monty.
All right, so what's the actual question?
The question is, which combination, there's two questions. It's what does everyone think of the new Dan and Joe show?
stupid.
And which combination with Dan do you like better and why? So, playa.
Hi, stupid.
You are first up on the on the 30. You ready?
I almost say, Phil, you could take it. The camera pan to Phil first. Like,
I'm still on.
Betty, you're on the 30. Go.
All right. Well, what do I say? You know, like, do I want to hang myself here? I mean, you know, here's the thing. So Dan and I have been together since January of 2021. We've done, I believe, 166 episodes. We've been heard in 40 countries around the world. We've charted in 6 different countries, including Ireland, which at one point we were higher ranked than Jim Cornette. We hit number 8 one week, and he was number 11, 3 notches behind us. So, you know, we've done it all. We've had some great guests. I mean, I would say that, you know, I'm getting old here. I mean, obviously, as you can tell, I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a die. This is not a Ric Flair die job, you know. maybe it's time to back up the bus and, you know, send me to the old age home and I can hang out with Gladys and Myrtle and tapioca pudding and, you know, play bingo and shuffleboard and things like that. I don't know. That's really up to the viewers. I mean, I've had a hell of a run. If my run was to end tomorrow, I would, you know, I'd be the first person to congratulate Joe because Joe is a humongous talent. I love Joe. Joe's my brother from another mother. So if he were to take my spot, you know, I've been blessed. I've been blessed beyond anything I could possibly fathom, and I'll still have my hookers. So, and I even have a little bit of money to entertain them.
Yep, nice job, Benny. I'm going to just give you 13 because it's a random, crazy question anyway. So it's all how I feel on giving those points. So awesome job.
Good job. Benny, your dog barks and Dan's cat meows, man. Talk about a perfect combo, you know?
My Jack Russell terrorist.
Yes.
So is this viewer submitted question going to be like a weekly thing now?
You couldn't see him because he's off camera, but my wife's dog ran up here.
The wife's got a dog, Dan's got a cat. Animals. What the hell is going on? Next thing you know, underage kids will be drinking with nuns for all we know in the back room.
And they've been drinking Blue Nun, probably. Blue Nun
Water. Right. Yeah. Nunya, right?
I think the fan that submitted this question had some extra pull somewhere.
I would say so, definitely.
He might have been drinking that good effing wine, too.
Where's that graphic again? I want to see that graphic again. Where's that graphic?
Okay, let's see. We got to get out of here. There you go, Joe.
Oh, wow. All right.
A flattering likeness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, really? That's good on you, though.
I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth right now. So
is he going to take the high road or is he going to try and bury his opponent? Listen, I always thought Benny was the king of those shenanigans, but he took the high road. Got to give him some respect.
The high road all the way.
Joe, you're on the 30.
I can only compare this question. I'll go right back to Benny, and it's got to be Maris and Mantle all over again here, right? The young up and gunner kid's going to be taking over the veteran, you know. Benny, the player, huge talent. If it wasn't for Benny, I would not be on this show and I would not have the tremendous success that I'm encountering now. As for that graphic that was just put up there, thank you so much, whoever made that graphic, because I look like I lost about 100 pounds. I look unbelievably fit in that graphic.
80 of it in your head.
Almost as good as to take a perp walk and be in a court appearance and all that stuff. But anyways, you know, it's a great question. Do I feel... I would be honored if that was the case. If this is to transcend into a new show, I'd be totally honored with this. I'm speechless as of right now because it feels like Benny's response was more of a goodbye, and I hate things like that because I do not do well with goodbyes.
Benny is going nowhere.
I've had tons of therapy over this, and I can't do it anymore. But, you know, all I can think about is Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, 1961. You know, they were comparing, they were calling them the M&M boys, and they knew that Mantle was going to go down at some point and Maris was going to come up in another. So, you know, all I can say is thank you for even mentioning me in the same sentence as the play of Benny, because like I said, he said something about charting something. I thought he said sharding. I wasn't sure.
Dog.
The dog's barking, there's shit everywhere. I don't know.
So, you know, am I the heel now? Do I have to play the role of the heel? Am I the bad guy coming in and not the good guy? I guess that's what it is. But whatever it is, it's all good and it's a good time. And, of course, give me the goddamn 12, why don't you? Because I deserve it. That was Benny's goodbye.
It was your favorite number. Come on.
I just want to let everybody know that I did not hit send on that last Venmo, and that was for good reason. That was to save Benny and the player. He is rightfully the 30 champion.
Bang up job for today. Bang up job.
Thank you.
Listen, guys, thank you for being good sports. And I appreciate all the fans out there. Appreciate all you guys on the panel. Mike, Monty, thank you for letting us do this every week. And what's he saying out there? Oh, Dan,
just to be clear, you end the show with a joke about replacing Benny. And now I got to come on next week and beat Benny to get my title back. Like, is that...
It's a sick world, man. It's a sick world.
It really
world.
Is. It's twisted.
Just no sharding on the show, all right? You can shard, but not shard.
No sharding for sure, yeah.
Let's go, Brandon.
That is one rule. There aren't many rules, but no sharding is a rule.
Let's bring these two back onto the screen.
I think Phil just wants to show off his pecs. That's what I think he's doing.
I'm lactating.
Well, listen, guys, we got to get going. The Monty and the Pharaoh show is coming
up. Where are we going now?
Well, Monty and the Pharaoh show is coming up live in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's
all that money you paid. You got to go buy some new shirts and get some more wrestling grades. That's what you got to do.
Absolutely.
Just remember, guys, those two key words, made in America.
Made in
Well, until next week, for this great panel of wrestling experts, this is ESO, and we're out of here. Later, guys.
Our Danny Davis.
What a day. Later. What a day. I'm SD Jones all over again.
Peace out.
Peace out.